Excellent. And as it's the third Wednesday of the month, it's time for us to press this button here.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
Which is at the heart of so much of Lincoln Inspired in every sense of the word. And Sarah Bullimore will be talking about that in, about 25 minutes or so from now. In the studio, of course, keeping our prepositions appropriately sorted, we have the fabulous poet and academic and general around fine person who is Andy Kerr. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, Alex.
Excellent. It's good to sort of be sharing the airwaves once again in this fabulous Wednesday, the 16th of August, 2017 day. It's truly wondrous. But it gets even better because the Lincoln Book Festival, with history at its heart, runs between Monday the 25th of September to Saturday the 30th of September. It connects audiences of all ages and interest with some of the UK's best-loved historical authors of historical fiction. Gothic is the theme for this year, and we'll be hearing from Scott Davidson about his take on Gothic. We've been talking about the whole notion of how Gothic... Well, what does it say to you, Andy? I mean, you specialise, you've got philosophy, you've got English, you've taught across the bases. When somebody says the word Gothic, what do you say?
A dark and stormy night.
Yeah, and yet it's more than that.
I know.
Horace Walpole, the reaching out, the scenario of where we're going, Percy Shelley, of course, Mary Shelley, the Brontes. I personally always have a great liking for Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, but I don't think they're going to be appearing unless, of course, we can get some Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. We'll be there next.
You could do Zombie Run, couldn't you? That'd be good fun. Pride and Prejudice, Zombie Run.
The Steampunk Festival, of course, is where
The Asylum.
Yeah, which is a matter of weeks away, of course. It's the August bank holiday when suddenly Lincoln just becomes taken over, it would seem, by a strange and wondrous steampunk time. Is that kind of something we should say is peculiarly British steampunk?
I don't know if it's purely British, but I do believe that Lincoln is the most steampunk place on Earth. Oh. It's been voted the most steampunk city on the whole globe. I think there's a phenomenon that's spread internationally, but I'm fairly sure it comes from kind of a very Britishness kind of a roots. If you've ever seen a tea competitions that they do, tea drinking competitions, and they have a whole music scene called Chap Hop, where there's very polite rap that goes on. It's really enjoyable.
And of course, it's 70 years since India had independence, really, which of course we celebrated yesterday. And Midnight's Children, Salman Rushdie's opus on that, is being dramatised by, I think, BBC Radio 4. One of these days we'll dramatise things on Siren as well, I'm sure. Anyway, we'll be talking about the Lincoln Book Festival and more. We'll be talking about Andy's poetry as well, and a whole heap of other things after The Monkees. Lincoln Book Festival, Lincoln Literary Festival, by speaking to a reader in English at the College of Arts at the University of Lincoln, of course, general all-round wonderful soul that is Dr. Scott Brewster. How are you, Scott?
I'm very well, thank you.
Scott, we spoke at length with Phil about the Gothic and his beliefs that obviously from his perspective he sees it as the architecture, the sort of reaching up for Lincoln Cathedral to the summit of man's inventions and the pit. No, that's the Twilight Zone. But in terms of the whole essence of Gothic literature, can we start off by just asking you to share with us your own interest in the field and how, obviously, from a literary perspective, it's more than just Mary Shelley?
Well, if I perhaps take your second part of your question first. From its beginnings, Gothic literature, going right back to the first Gothic novel by Horace Walpole, The Castle of Otranto in 1764, it was itself a very self-conscious reinvention of the medieval period. The main trend of British Gothic in particular was to affirm a kind of Protestant rationalism, which was nonetheless very fascinated with a medieval Catholicism usually placed in southern Europe. But of course the other strong element influencing the beginning of what we know as the Gothic literary tradition, particularly in Britain and in the English language, is of course the Gothic revival that was taking place architecturally across the 18th century, with essentially a fascination with ruins. Ruins that were increasingly on a tourist map in Britain, where abbeys, monasteries were at once the site of some outmoded, feudal, superstitious medieval past that we can be glad we've overcome and surmounted, but equally a fascination with what that past actually meant and how its visible traces were still there on the landscape. And that, I think, is why Gothic literature fits so well with a festival whose primary purpose is to stress the writing of history, is that Gothic is itself about writing different versions of history, whether the medieval past in the Gothic for the first 40 years, or increasingly Gothic that wrote other types of past from other parts of the world, that even envisions the future in Gothic relationship to science fiction. So Gothic is about reinventing the past. My particular interest in the Gothic at the moment is the relationship between travel and history and place in the Gothic. Gothic begins as a romance tradition. People go off on a quest or a journey, usually doughty heroines who triumph over banditti, murderous tyrants, and through the force of their independence and their rationalism, they triumph. Gothic is very much a mode or a genre that's about travel. It's about fascinating with different types of space, everything from the cathedral to the wilderness and the frontier. So Gothic, my particular interest is how it charts the past in its relation to place, moving through different spaces.
That whole notion of Gothic tourism and travel. I'm mindful of the quote from a former commissioning editor for Channel 4 who once said, "The British tend to be a nation of people who stagger backwards into the future, looking longingly into the past." Different thought, a different concept. Of course, you're working as part of the wonderful shared collaborative areas with two fabulous folk. We've got Rebecca Stoyler and, of course, the wonderful Lucy Armit. In terms of the perspective, would you like to just explain what you've been busily engaged with over the past year, as far as obviously the Gothic is concerned, and which we'll see some kind of manifestation in the Lincoln Literary Festival?
Well, we are currently in discussions about inviting several leading authors of Gothic fiction and the ghost story to be, if you like, a nice complement to the historical focus and indeed the medieval focus of the festival. We're trying to find writers who chart in the Gothic mode different periods of history from the Victorian right through to the 1970s, which of course for many participants in the festival might actually be quite distant history. Not all of them, I have to say. We're also going to be running a schools event, primarily focused, we think, on female Gothic and female Gothic and horror.
And just focusing on that schools event, I'm again thinking of the notion of the very semantics come to head when you mention Gothic. Do we get folk who actually think, oh, is that what they do at Whitby every year? Is it that kind of Bram Stoker-esque element that's actually there? But as you've just said in the introduction, it's a bit more than that, really.
Yes, it is. I suppose in the 21st century, when one uses the word Gothic, one thinks of Gothic subculture in fashion, lifestyle choices, clothing, tourist experiences like Whitby, like Alton Towers, like the Blackpool Festival recently, like the Ghost Train. The London Dungeon, the Necrobus, the myriad of ghost walks and ghost tours that litter the pavements of many towns and cities in the UK throughout the summer. Mm. So in a sense, Gothic has become a much broader form of entertainment. We also think of Gothic cinema, but equally now one of the most popular and high profile forms of Gothic expression is in the television serial, either zombies or vampires or other monsters, werewolves, etc. We think of Penny Dreadful being a very good example. So Gothic has always shown the ability to mutate its forms. Early Gothic novels appeared sometimes in Baudelaireized form on the stage in melodramatic style in the 1790s. And it's always been a form that can graft itself onto more, shall we say, respectable literary modes. The detective novel, the science fiction novel, the romance tradition more broadly, but also it was taken up very early in early 20th century cinema. And we think of Nosferatu, we think of the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, we think of the early versions of Dracula.
And is it, I mean, you mentioned science fiction a couple of times there, is it rather like science fiction, one of those forms which can often be used as an allegory for society? I mean, I'm thinking of Bram Stoker and vampirism as the other, the fear of the unknown, the notion of the manifestation of fears of the immigrants, the migrant coming through. Is that something else which we see not just from a clear metaphorical aspect, but also from an allegorical perspective as well?
It's a form that is acutely, several critics have called it a really acute and sensitive cultural barometer of what society is particularly anxious about, preoccupied by, but also, I would stress, fascinated by. Very often what one feels repelled by is also what one is fascinated by. Mm. It's a genre or mode that expresses profound ambivalence about matters to do with identity, sexuality, class, race, the nature of place. Increasingly now, climate change. There's a strand called eco-Gothic, where many Gothic writers are, perhaps our most profound fear is a fear that the planet may have a very limited time span if we keep living the way we are.
Horror cycles frequently emerging in times of social stress. What are you most looking forward to yourself from the festival? Will it be the David Starkey talk? I know he's a historian, but obviously he's a key part of that. And I know as we record this, in the height of summer, he says somewhat ironically, given the weather conditions, what are you particularly sort of thinking? I'm quite keen on that, because clearly, from the festival organisers' point of view, part of the Lincoln Literary Festival this year was wanting to use Gothic in the broader sense, as we've just discussed so far.
I'm fascinated to see how, if one puts in inverted commas, a narrow interest in the Gothic, i.e. the genuinely medieval splendours of Lincoln Cathedral, how that can be expressed in relevant terms to a contemporary audience. Mm. Because, of course, much of the debate recently has been about the Houses of Parliament, which, of course, in Pugin's design, is entirely a vast expression of the Gothic revival. Almost 600 years after the high point of Gothic architecture. So visibly, the traces of our landscape still have the Gothic. But in terms of that sense of terror and wonder, that combination that the Gothic mode has often brought together, that sense of terror and wonder that find new forms in sometimes unlikely places and spaces that aren't cathedrals, but nonetheless, the Gothic's concerns are as ever-present in our culture as the cathedral is an ever-present feature of the landscape of Lincoln.
And in terms of further reading, further background information, I mean, clearly there's a wealth of material that's actually available. Where would you actually point people to? Is there a one-stop shop website or an area which you'd say this is where the fruits of our research will be manifesting itself for public consumption?
Well, in terms of our research, we're currently writing, Lucy and myself are currently writing a book on Gothic travel. But in terms of general websites of interest, there's the International Gothic Association, which is a scholarly association, but actually has quite an interactive website about what's going on. People using social media in ways that, as a backward-looking Gothicist, I can only dream of. But there's also a fascinating website attached to the University of Stirling called The Gothic Imagination, which does serve a certain scholarly audience in terms of reviewing some of the latest academic work, but is also much broader in reviewing Gothic-themed events, festivals, popular television series, new films that come out, which is quite a lively exchange of how people have thought about the Gothic in the past, but also how they think about it in the present, and indeed where they might see it going next.
Professor Scott Brewster there with his views on Gothic. Gothic is about reinventing the past, Andy. Did that echo a fellow Belfast soul coming across there? I mean, do you think that Scott was on target, or is it just a case of, well, why didn't he choose something like the rom-com?
No, I think a certain fascination with the Gothic has got to be engendered by any length of time spent in Lincoln. You just have to look up at the fantastic cathedral at the top of the hill. And it is an inspiring sight, you know. I was reading, I've just begun reading the novel of the Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. It was a fantastic BBC series a year or two ago. And there's this lovely part at the start about York, whereby anyone who lives in a cathedral town has to be inspired by the cathedral, because it's not just a big building within a city. It is the centrepiece, as if on some kind of lovely tiered wedding cake. And you can lose sight of it down little narrow streets as you're walking through the glory hole here, and then suddenly you look up and there it is again, and you remember, you know, what it's all about.
In many ways, you've got that little triumvirate of cities. You have Durham, of course, York and Lincoln, all of whom are cathedral-based cities who open up a whole range of other bits and pieces within that. In terms of the Go Gothic Festival, will you be in the area yourself, Andy, in terms of the Lincoln Book Festival, 25th of September to the 30th of September?
Sadly, I will not be. I will be back in that dark and stormy city of Belfast by that stage.
Well, in which case, you'd be missing out on The Sacred and the Profane on the 29th, Writing Romance, Mills and Boone Style, also on the 29th, Victorian Truths and Gothic Mysteries on Thursday the 28th, Arms and the Mind, I think channeling the spirit of George Bernard Shaw's Arms and the Man there with Arms and the Mind. Nicely done. On Wednesday the 27th of event, and the 26th of September, also Painted Ladies, Iconic Faces, with the festival launch party, of course, on the 25th. You can actually go to the LincolnBookFestival.org to find out all manner of wondrous details. Let's shift scenes, shift genre somewhat now. Flaming Lips.
Yeah, go for it. Brilliant.
Yoshimi battling the pink robots.
But you won't let those
She won't let us down because she's Yoshimi and she's battling those pink robots in the way that only Yoshimi can. It's Inspired On Air, the third Wednesday of the month. It may be broadcast as a podcast, it may be going up into all manner of other bits and pieces. It's always out there somewhere, shape or form. We've got Andy Kerr in the studio. We will also be talking about Sarah Bullimore's activities. She's the founder, of course, of the whole Lincoln Inspired package. And I was with Sarah at Newark recently for the Newark Book Festival, which was splendid. Mm-hmm. We talked about that last month. But anyway, poetry continues, including on Siren with Word Perfect every Wednesday. This time, in double hours duty between 7 and 9. They follow a show which is, I believe, called The Midweek Drive.
Yes, today. Yes, I've heard of that. I hear the presenter's pretty good. Seems to know his stuff.
Well, curious enough, we do actually have a Grammy Award winning composer called Victor Mancore tonight, who's actually recently been praised for setting a whole series of Pope John Paul II's poems to music.
Oh.
He's also worked with folk ranging from Barry Manilow to Michael Jackson and the Jacksons in the ABC area. So it just goes to show how he can actually go from crotch grabbing, ow! to the head of the Catholic Church.
Hey.
One of those two things we will go into all sorts of ways, but not now, for reasons obviously of legality and, frankly, good taste. What else is happening, Andy, as far as poetry and your life is concerned?
Well, the Outspoken Poets, a group, very active group, of which I am a proud member, have four events on throughout the month. We have the Uncaged Open Mic, which is the first Wednesday of every month down at the Birdcage. We have Scratchy Pens, where it's kind of a very interactive session with a local poet by invitation who discusses works in progress and bounces about ideas and so on. There's usually some art activities and stuff that go along with it. That is the second Tuesday of every month at Coffee Aroma. There is the Writers Group up at the Victoria Inn on the third Sunday of the month. So that's coming up this Sunday. It is from 2 p.m. It lasts until about 6 p.m. There's a bit of a social afterwards. There are writing activities. You come along, meet some lovely people, bounce about ideas again, and actually sit down and be prepared to write something there and then. So that's this Sunday. And then there's the last Thursday of every month, so that's next Thursday, the 31st, I believe it is the Night of Spoken Word at the Jolly Brewer Bar, which is where it all began, and it's fantastic.
It's a fortnight in time.
Is it a fortnight in time?
Yes, next Thursday is 24th.
In that case, it's a fortnight in time, exactly. I apologise. Yes, all the days are blurring into one now that we're in the summertime.
Well, yes, but you know, it's those long summer vacations and halcyon days where the sun is so much brighter and shine. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Knew a man, Bojangles, and he'd dance for you in worn-out shoes, silver hair, a ragged shirt, and baggy pants. They wore soft shoes. Jump so high, jump so high. Then it lightly touched down. Middleman a sail in New Orleans he was. Down and out. He looked to me to be the eyes of age. As he spoke right out, he talked of life, talked of life. He laughed, slapped his leg a step. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, dance. Said his name Bojangles and he danced the lick. Across the cell, grab his pants, a better stance and jump so high. Clicked his
let go her laugh, let go her laugh. Shook back his clothes all around. As for those at minstrel shows and county fairs throughout the South, spoke with tears of 15 years how a dog in here had traveled about. His dog up and died, he up and died. After 20 years he still breathes. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, dance. Sit or dance now at every chance in honky-tonk for drinks and tips. Most of the time I spend behind these county bars, 'cause I drink so beer. He shook his head, and as he shook his head, heard someone ask, please. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, go on and dance.
Don't worry, when the dog up and died, I'm sure he went to doggy heaven. At least, let's believe he did. It's through continuing the joys of Inspired On Air, and accordingly, we need to welcome Sarah Bonnymore. How are you, Sarah?
I'm well, thanks, Alex.
Would you like a mystery voice, Sarah, as you join us, having not been listening to the programme, as it's been broadcast live on Siren 107.3 FM, which will be bowled at you? Are you ready? Are you psyched up, do you feel, for a mystery voice? Okay, mystery voice, would you like to say a few words and see how quickly the legend that is Sarah Bullimore can actually point the whole thing to you?
Hello, Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Any ideas? Any ideas whatsoever?
Yes, Steve.
He's Steve.
That's a good guess, but no, I'm not Steve. No. I'm very fond of Steve, but I'm not Steve.
any progress now that Steve has actually given you a flat
It's no, not... there we go. See, I was thinking he's on holiday, he'd be around.
So you were using logic as opposed to your inner intuitive feeling to actually say no.
No, I've only been on this show once before, so you're hard pushed. But ballpark names, what are the most common names in the UK?
Yes.
Or definitely in Scotland.
She's beginning to flounder here, really. I can tell.
I know. It's that afternoon slot, isn't it?
when you say afternoon slot and so on, let's progress it a little bit further. Steve has worked with this individual fairly extensively when it comes to matters poetic.
Nathan?
No, but you're getting warmer.
Is Nathan also from that part of the British Isles then that we refer to as Northern Ireland?
I don't think he is.
It's hard to tell through the beard though.
Any other? So two strikes now. She's got it's all or nothing on the third guess.
Ooh.
Come on, Sarah. You know you can do this.
I know you can. Put me out of my misery.
It's Andy Kerr.
Oh,
They all say, she's forgotten all about you, Andy.
It happens. Yeah,
out of sight, out of mind, and there we have it.
The evanescent Andrew Kerr.
You clearly have a nicely twirled tweet. We're getting some evanescence. It was in the studio live, but we should actually have a musical break. Have you recovered from that excitement that was the Newark Book Festival? We've been talking about the Lincoln Book Festival that's coming up later. Have you? What about it, Sarah? I mean, or is it a case of, that was such a long, long time ago now?
I'm getting there. Yes, I'm getting there. I'm just finishing the evaluation off as we speak. Because I had to put it to one side, it kind of feels like it was ages ago that it took place. But absolutely fantastic.
Now, when you're looking at evaluations, we seem to live in the 21st century, at least in the western side of the 21st century, or the western part of the hemisphere that we call the planet Earth, in this obsessive culture in which we consistently have to do reviews, writing, analyses, feedback forms and various other factors and so on. You can share with us, Sarah, do you think ultimately there's nothing that's going to replace the intuitive feel to, yes, this works, this is special, this is fantastic, or is it constantly a case of we're going to be chasing ratings forever and ever?
Well, my evaluation consists of that, basically, that intuitive feeling, because what I've done is I've taken all that wonderful, exciting feedback and all those thank you emails and put that into my evaluation. So it is much more a quality and a feeling based on mine as well, backed up with some knowledge now that we have audiences out there and we have people on our mailing list, which we didn't have before as well. It's been a really nice journey.
As I said to you last time we did Inspired and Air, actually, I thought it was an outstanding piece. People can still actually go and download the podcast of our own coverage of at least the first... Well, it was kind of like the first few hours of the New York Book Festival, because Natasha Armstrong and myself sort of headed off, after about the first 3 or 4 hours. Not because we wanted to, but it was just other things that sort of cropped into place that... Yeah. Lots of things are actually there. Andy, you didn't make it in the end. Is it something which might have you coming back from Belfast next year?
Absolutely. If it coincides with me being in Lincoln, I would absolutely come to New York for the next year's book festival. Missing the one here, sadly, in September. Hopefully the universe will align and I'll have the opportunity to experience that, because I heard really, really good things.
Yeah, very well put together. And I take it then that does mean that the unasked question, so far unanswered because it's been unasked, is there going to be a New York Book Festival 2018? Is that yes?
Yes, there is indeed. We've even got the date set. So it's the 14th and 15th of July, so we're sticking with the same weekend. So dates are already in all the venues, diaries, and so we're about to embark on fundraising for 2018.
Well, I always have to get out of Belfast around about the 12th, so that the universe might just very well align.
That would be fantastic.
It shows the quality that's coming together. Lots of other things happening, Sarah, which we're going to ask you to share with us in a matter of moments from now, if that's okay. How do you fancy a little touch of evanescence?
Sounds good.
And obviously, Andy, the definition of evanescence is...
Passing slowly from memory.
Passing slowly from memory. It's something which we regularly used to use with respect to introduction to communications in the world today, and communications in society. Comms in sock, as it was referred to. And yes, gradually that will also, the role of Andy Kerr and more, as the degree gets older, will just pass forever. Sadly. Don't go!
How can you see into my eyes like open doors, leading you down into my core, where I become so numb. My spirit sleeping somewhere.
I could see you rocking out, Sarah Bullimore. I could see you do your air guitar and everything with Bring Me to Life there in Evanescence. So you see all focusing through there. Yeah, rock and roll. It obviously looks ahead to Whitport and Musicport, I should say, at Whitby, which is happening, of course, in October. We'll be covering more details about the music festival in Whitby, Musicport 2017, the 17th year of Musicport, when Benjamin Zephaniah. He'll be one of the key folk.
Got some ties to Lincolnshire. I'm not sure he's from here, but he lived here at one stage.
Exactly. So lots of heap good stuff there, so to speak, using the old Tonto speak from The Lone Ranger. I don't know why, but I just thought heap good. You know, or maybe Little Plum, character in the Beano, who was a Native American who was little but wasn't a plum. He was a Native American little boy who got into all sorts of scrapes. Sarah, I presume that Lincoln Inspired will not be featuring characters from the Beano in the near future. So let's progress onto what activities and events you have personally got earmarked once people have actually said, well, Edinburgh Festival coming to its end now, it's wrapped up its whole piece, we want things to do. Once we've done steampunk on the bank holiday weekend in Lincoln, Lincoln Book Festival, 25th to the 30th of September, what other Sarah Bullimore delights are likely to be on offer?
Well, it's autumn is always a not a quieter time, but a quieter time for events for me, which is great. I've got lots of projects lined up, but lots of kind of projects involved sitting at the desk. But we have got the big draw coming up in October. And once again, I'm working with the Lincolnshire Aviation to be taking some events for schools across to Newark Air Museum. So we'll be having 3 days over there with lots of visual artists, and we'll be all drawing. And the theme this year is Living Lines for the Big Draw Festival as well. So I'm really looking forward
well,
to that.
Well, presumably with that, you might also be tied in with the first ever RAF air show at Scampton, which takes place, as I say, in a few weeks' time in September. Yeah. We might well be covering that. It'll be well. We were privileged to be at the press launch a few weeks back, as Ben Lewis and myself. And, of course, it's only one more year before we celebrate 100 years of the RAF.
Wow.
A centenary of chocks away, chaps. Here we go again. And other such stereotypical sort of lines that come from the RAF. Anything else, Sarah, that you'd like to share with us? How can people actually find out about the sort of things that are... I mean, is there a go-to website, or is there something which you can actually promote? Would you just say, just check? Because I mean, we could also mention the fact that, you know, our good friend Jill Hart has also got her fabulous Lincoln Linden books with lots of authors signed up for the autumn little period and so on. Sasha working very hard there as well. Anything else that you'd like to share, Sarah?
Yeah, the main thing really is to find me on Twitter, which I'm at Sarah Bullimore as well. Mostly I kind of put events up on there or signpost them to anything that's up and coming as well, any projects that I'm working on. So that's probably one of the best places to go. But really keep an eye out and make sure that you go and give Newark Book Festival a like, because that's going to be our main one for 2018 that we're going to be focusing on. So I can't believe we're already putting dates in the diary for 2018.
So well, it's a case of plan ahead or don't. And we'd actually Absolutely. Suggest that you took the former. I just actually found an old little jingle for your good soul, Sarah. Here it is.
The Midweek Drive with Alex Levchuk and Sarah Bullimore on Siren 107.3 FM.
Oh, yes, that's almost a decade old, that particular little idea.
I know, scary. Yes,
done, in fact, by the mother of Eleanor Tomlinson, who's currently wowing them, or has been wowing people, as Demelza in the Sunday night Poldark series. So there we are. You can now officially say that 'twas indeed Eleanor Tomlinson, Demelza's mother, who once said...
The Midweek Drive with Alex Levchuk and Sarah Bullimore on Siren 107.3 FM.
And even though he's waited 3.5 years, Andy Kerr still hasn't got a jingle done for him. It's all right, Andy. It's in the works.
Okay.
Yeah. It will be happening. Sarah, we are not doing the Midweek Drive. It is Lincoln Inspired. You'll be leading us in those wonderful couple of words, Be Inspired, or Inspired Be, in a few seconds' time. Any musical choice you'd like us to dig out for you to help you in your consideration in terms of where we should be going? You can be an artist if you wish.
Now, you know, if I'd have not tuned in at the right time, I would have said Neil Diamond, because I absolutely love Neil Diamond.
Nice.
Hearing that. Maybe something not necessarily artiste, but maybe something a bit summery, if you've got something summery
A bit summery, okay.
I think we need a bit more sunshine in our life.
I mean, we could, because you know, with that sort of people, we could offer you another Neil Diamond if you wished. I mean, we could go with what do you think, Andy? I mean, it's your last Inspired and Afro we want.
I'll Dry Your Eyes. If you've got it.
No.
Oh.
But we do have You Don't Bring Me Flowers, Sweet Caroline, Solitary Man, or Pretty Amazing Grace, or Love on the Rocks.
Love on the Rocks.
Oh, Love on the Rocks, yeah.
Okay, right, well, there we are. Because Sarah likes him, it's a chance for that wonderful singer-songwriter, who, of course, also wrote extensively for the Monkees, to deliver it again in his unique, inimitable way.
Ain't no surprise. Just pour me a drink and I'll tell you some lies. Got nothing to lose, so you just sing the blues all the time. Gave you my heart, gave you my soul. Left me alone here with nothing to hold. Yesterday's gone. Now all I want is a smile. First they say they want you. What you need, you can say what you want, not much you can do when the feeling is gone. Maybe blue skies above, but it's cool when your love's on the rocks. Ain't no big surprise. Just pour me a drink and I'll tell you my lies. Yesterday's gone. And now all I want is a smile.
I think, if memory serves, that was actually taken from the jazz singer, the movie.
Yeah.
These are, I always have America from that particular movie, and
Love on the Rocks.
Yeah, exactly. Love on the Rocks was certainly there. You Don't Bring Me Flowers, of course, was a duet with Barbara Streisand, which is a completely different line entirely. Andy has rightly pointed out, before we say complete farewells, that we forgot one crucial thing that's happening in Lincoln between the 22nd of August and the 1st of September at Lincoln Cathedral. It's Jekyll and Hyde the musical. Lincoln Cathedral will open its doors to entertain, delight and dazzle audiences with the Broadway bestseller Jekyll and Hyde the musical. Tickets have already been sold out for Saturday 26th of August, but between the 25th of August, that's Friday, and Friday the 1st of September, there are extra premium tickets that have been made available. A hit show written for the stage by Frank Wildhorn and Leslie Brickus, based on the classic novel The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Will you be going to check it out, Sarah?
I'm not this year. I can't go, unfortunately. But I went to see Jesus Christ Superstar last year and absolutely loved it. So I'm sure it's going to be as outstanding this year.
Excellent. Well, we've gone from Pugins and the design for Westminster. Don't worry, Teresa, Big Ben will strike again in 4 years, we think. And, of course, the joys of Gothic with Scott Brewster and the notion about reinventing the past, the Limp Book Festival. Andy, of course, lots of plugs for the Mouthpiece Poets.
Outspoken Poets.
Outspoken Poets. Other poetry teams are available. I've just mentioned one of them.
Ah, they're not anymore, actually.
Well, there we are. Well, this is very true, exactly.
It's a long story, listeners.
We'll go there. When you have Andy Kerr, the biography, all will be produced from that point of view. Lots of great things happening. Plus, of course, any thing that Sarah Baldemore is involved with is wonderful. Sarah, would you like to join Andy and myself in those final few words, which we always like to end every edition of Inspired On Air with? A one, a two, a three.
Be inspired.